if someone can just share and give us a propulsion, we can skip 5 years of failures.
There seems to be a deficit of conversations around the whys of living away from the convenience of town, spending precious time on trying to grow your own food when you can just buy it in the shops, and if choosing this lifestyle really is making a difference on our characters and that of our families. Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast. We are passionate about and love having conversations on what impact truly experiencing country living, true education, and agriculture can have on our lives. We hope and pray that by us sharing these conversations with people from all different backgrounds and experiences, that you can feel equipped from the practical advice and inspired by the stories to continue or pick up where you left off. Hey guys, welcome back to the Cultivate Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us and we've got some exciting things on today. So we have my friends Khan and Ian in the room. But before we get started, I'm curious guys, what was your week like?
It was great. I worked on a new irrigation system for my nursery this week. And yeah, it's really great. Like it's a microjet system that is going to water the transplants so I don't have to go around with a watering can anymore. It's pretty awesome.
Wow, that sounds very efficient. I like it.
Thanks.
What about you, Ian?
What's happening? I guess there's the blessing in when bad things happen and you see like, it's bad, but it's good, and that it could have been a lot worse. And I was at work, and I was driving a forklift, and I was going into a shed, and I'd raised up my load too high. And as I was going through the door, I didn't realize that the top was like too tall, and it wouldn't fit through the door. And but I didn't see that, so I just kept on going at a solid pace going into the shed. And it went slam.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then, so that was a good start. Oh, well, a good start to the day. And, you know, we were prepping before a storm, had to move all the stuff in and before the rain would land on it. So, you know, it was go, go, go. And then bang, whoops. Oh, no one was around. No one even noticed that I did it. It was only me that knew. And it's kind of, you know, it's just amazing that it was a really good spot to hit. Like I damaged almost nothing, only one little piece of metal. If I'd been a little bit the other way or a little bit higher, it would have been a structural piece or something very visible.
Yeah, that sounds quite eventful. I'm glad it didn't turn out worse than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for me, what stood out was I did some Bible working. And so because we're in lockdown currently, I was doing a Zoom Bible study with some primary kids at school. And yeah, it was so good because I was at home. I normally am at work to do it, but I was at home. So I was trying to decide what to share with them. And I have some little plants growing inside, some seedlings. And so it was my highlight and joy to be able to share a lesson from the Bible about plants and then show them my actual plants growing in my room. So that was pretty cool for me. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, bringing some living things to talk about living words.
Yeah, and then they started telling me all about their plants that they're growing at school. And yeah, it was just a really good like conversation starter. And yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good thing to talk about. And then the parallels in the Bible in comparison. Anyway, I really, really thrived on that. It was good. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing, guys. I'm excited to get into the topic of today. I don't know about you guys listening, but for me, I've definitely felt at times that, yeah, there's like an idealistic perspective that we should be living. But if you don't have the knowledge in how to actually live that out, it's kind of hard to experience that, I guess. And I know I'm speaking kind of vaguely, but yeah, in agriculture, when we think of, oh, we want to grow our own food or we want to live in the country or whatever it might be, yeah, it's very easy to not know the steps to take. And so yeah, we wanted to talk today about a conversation that happened probably, I don't know how long ago it was now, between some Adventist people, and yeah, just curious and wondering what those steps were going to look like. And so an opportunity came up where they could learn more at Ian's local church. So I don't know too much about the project and the details, Ian, but yeah, start us off. How did this idea of, yeah, learning and growing together all come about?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I went and I joined my local church. I was in a different place, and I went there and joined this community, and I walked in, and everyone was, they had in the afternoons, they were studying like country living and reading through, and like Sabbath afternoons, you know, after church program, they go and do some extra stuff. And it's like, wow, these guys are, you know, onto it. They're like right on, you know. I was like, this is what
I'm so cool that they were having those conversations before you even got there.
Yeah, this place was prime. This place was like, this was really, it was keen. And I think, you know, a lot of communities, church communities, have been interested in those topics and having conversations on that. But it was just amazing to walk right into the middle of one. And that was, yeah, just amazing. And as time went by, you know, we kept on doing studies, and I was having those afternoon chats and looking through country living and those sort of inspirations, quotes, and understanding more about it. And, you know, it came at one point, because I kept on talking about it, you know, oh, how to grow things, this, that, and about soil, plants, this. Oh, that's not how you do that. You know, you grow it like this, and you do that, and you train it like this, or, you know, and then soon they realized, you know, the pastor was like, you know, could you do some sessions in the afternoon? Like, let's, you know, like, let's talk about it. Let's talk about how to grow stuff, you know, in the afternoon. And that was it. I was booked in for the next week. I didn't have really a clue what I was going to talk about exactly, but I was booked in for the next week. And then next week, booking turned into another week, and then another week. And then it started to become that every week I was preparing a session for the following week. So as you can see, it sort of was, it just came about from the situation. You know, a bunch of people came to hear about country living, about upskilling, about understanding more about it. And behold, the conversation started.
Yeah, that's so cool how like God just brings people together at the right time, the right experience, and the right expertise to be able to have something like that happen. Because that really couldn't have been planned, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just walked in straight into a divine appointment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So tell us more. Like, that's obviously how it started, and that's super cool. And you were obviously feeling your way as you went through that, but give us an overview of of what that ended up looking like. So you said it went for a couple of weeks. What sort of topics, tell us more about the details of it.
Yeah, I think it's really easy in hindsight, like I'll share what we went over. It's really easy to in hindsight to say, hey, look, this is the list, this is what we went over. But for me, like trying to put that together, it was actually quite a challenge, because like, what do these people need to hear? Like, there's the challenge of this is my experience, this is what I have to share. And also, what do these people actually need? And, you know, always in the previous context, it was always like, these are ag people that want to hear stuff about, you know, I was always in a more context where people, with my agricultural background in ag science and those sort of things, you know, they want to know the specs, they want to know the details, they want to know the nitty gritty, but in this situation, it's like everyone's there. Like, you know, I've got the little kid to, you know, little children running around, to the pastor, to the elder, to the, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's here. So what do these people really need? So when I started the course, I just chucked out all my previous courses into the bin and said, what does this need to be? And you know, I love that, because it was a real learning experience for me, because every session was like, Lord, what am I saying this coming week? And then I would prepare that, then I'd say it, and then after that week, that session, at the end of the conclusion of that session, it would become clear what would we would all need to talk about the next week. And the group would say and, you know, give a bit of feedback, like, oh, that was really interesting. So how do you do that? Well, and the follow-up questions and those sort of things. And so they, in a sense, designed the course in a way, which was really cool.
Custom built, eh?
Yeah, custom built. And All right. So what we went over, the course had, so we did afternoon sessions on, and we went for five sessions, five primary sessions, and then we did an outdoor day, which sort of came out of the whole idea. Because after, you know, going over a lot of things, you know, it was like, let's have a day outside when everyone gets in the garden and gives it a go, you know, let's consolidate. We started in what's the foundation, you know, the first session is if we want to learn something new, that about believing about how to grow things specifically, because that was the focus of the course, was how to grow stuff is and how to work the soil to grow things. And the foundation, where do we find a foundation for those principles? And so thankfully, you know, I had an experience in the past that sort of pointed that out to me. So I shared that and said, look, the foundation for how we restore soil and how we grow things is actually can all be found in the Bible. Parallels of how soil is restored physically and how it's spoken of in spiritual parallels in the Bible about how the soil of our heart is restored, they both apply. So the model of how you would restore the heart, the soil of the heart, applies to how you would restore the soil of the field that you need to work on, right? And
can I jump in before you go to the next one?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I was going to say like how big of a learning curve that was, and how you mentioned earlier, like each week you had to get on your knees and pray and be like, God, what do these people need to hear? What do I need to be sharing? And like, if you had have just gone off courses that maybe you've done before for different audiences, God couldn't have led you to that specific, you know, start off point, right?
Absolutely. I ended up starting this in a way that I'd never started before, and said things in ways that I never would have before.
That's powerful.
And it's really hard to remain flexible and to say, let's not go off a pre-template. Let's not go off. Let's not do it like we did it before. Let's learn from the situation and improve every time. But so there was a blessing in it, an incredible blessing from doing that. And so yeah, we were talking about this fact that, you know, like the that was the first session. It was just talking about that. The Bible says, you know, for example, Luke 8:11, the word of God is seed, and we share the word of God, or we share the gospel. And apparently this is supposed to achieve change and restoration. So how can sharing the seed and the promises of God cause restoration? So in the physical world, that's really obvious. When you plant a seed in the ground and it grows, it actually restores the soil underneath it. It builds it and develops it. And so then we realize that's exactly what the promises of God do for us. They are, when you receive a promise from God and you realize this is your promise, you've been given this and it is true for you, you get up and you walk as if that is a reality for you, and it has done the job, even though it may take time for that promise to eventuate in its fullness. It's already a living reality because the seed has been planted. So anyway, you know, that was like the foundation. And then, so you're going into a course about how to grow things, and you realize that there's actually principles that we can draw from. Those biblical principles. So yeah, then
and I love how you don't keep it just a factual thing, but yeah, realizing the different lessons behind there and pulling them out, it helps make it so much more real.
Yeah, yeah, That's it. That's it. And then once you've got those principles that we were studying, it was like, how do we apply those? So like, how do we minister to the soil, basically? How do we restore it knowing these principles? So we recognize that we've got to plant a seed, but what's the needs of this soul or soil? What does it need to support that growth, to support that seed, to embrace that seed and not reject it or let go of it or be unable to support it? So we were discussing, what does the soil need? What's its broken condition? Because all soils are in a state of non-function. I think we don't have a understanding of land literacy. We don't have a land literacy skill set, at least the modern population doesn't, in the sense that we're disconnected from the land. And we can't just look at a piece of land and say, yeah, this land needs this, it's missing this. We all understand, like Khan, if I block your airway, everyone understands that that will result in you dying, right?
Yeah.
Like, obvious, right? But for some reason, in the landscape, we don't recognize that that soil stopping from breathing will result in the same thing.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I'm just visualizing it as you're speaking it. And it's like, yeah, we don't even talk about the soil hardly. Like, yeah, we might talk about growing things, but the soil and its health, like, I don't know. I feel like that's, yeah, one of the things that's not talked about very often, right?
No.
And but it's your expertise. So you're like, I can see it right there.
Yeah. Like, guys, I can see this soil is suffering. It's rained too much, all right? It's drowning.
The response that a lot of people get is that, well, just add some fertilizer or something like that, some compound D, and it'll be right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, no, this is a living thing. What does it need? Where is it at? Exactly. What's its history? Why is it not productive? Why do you go and look at it and you look at the grass growing on a soil and it's horrible? Well, because maybe it's very lush. Why? Because it has certain features that have given it that ability and fertility and that strength. And so when we recognize those features, like, you know, the soil can actually breathe, and that's important. And we recognize that those are certain conditions that are necessary for the supporting of the seed of true growth, and supporting strong growth. And then we realize that those very same conditions are the things that we need in our Christian walk. But anyway, that was session two. Then the rest of it became pretty practical. We basically did a market gardening crash course. And market gardening is basically a system of producing vegetables with the least amount of effort, really. And so we went over design principles, why are bed sizes made the way they are, why certain soils can be made with different beds in different ways, why you wouldn't want to make them that. How would you prepare a bed? You know, like the basic skill sets of preparing a bed with the least amount of effort, what tools, how you use those tools to prepare a bed, cheat sheet with planting timing, spacing, harvesting periods, all of those things for Victoria, relevant to these people that we were working with, and weeding techniques, irrigation, you know, the nuts and bolts of stuff. And then we did another session on tree planting, so the blueprint tree planting method, and also we discussed what a fertilizer program could look like and stuff like that, and then to cap that off in the capping off, it was like a day. We said, you know, come to the garden. We're going to do a demo day. We're going to go pretty much over everything that we went over in the course and just, you know, hands on. Here's a weeding tool. Here's a demo. Here's a harvesting, you know, everything. Let's harvest some lettuce. Let's look at these lettuce. Let's diagnose this soil. Let's look at some soil and ask ourselves the questions that need to be asked in order for us to understand what that soil, what's its condition, where does it need to be? Why is it not what it is? why is it not what it could be?
And that's when I first heard about it, when I got sent a photo of all these people at a garden. And it's like, look what we're doing. This is our last session. I'm like, oh, hold on. Backstep a little bit. Like, we need to know more about this.
Absolutely. That was, yeah, we had fun.
Yeah. That's so cool. And I love how you've, stepped us through those steps of, you know, setting their foundation there and then going into those practical things of how we can actually do that.
So there's this foundational quote, really, on how the course was built, and it was built on let me just read it. There is wisdom for him who holds the plow and plants and sows the seed. The earth has its concealed treasure, and the Lord would have thousands and tens of thousands working upon the soil. You know, this quote says quite a lot of things, but just really focusing on the earth has its concealed treasure. You know, when trying to decide, you know, in what should be included in the course. Now, I find this a foundational statement, because growing things can turn into very easily buying everything to make something grow. So apparently you need to buy all these things in Bunnings in order to make something grow. And by the time you've bought all those things, they cost far more than the value of the produce that you end up growing from that soil. And that's pathetic. And it's not tapping into the concealed treasure in the earth, you know? So if we want to tap into that, we need to tap into the first part of this quote, in a sense. There is wisdom for him who holds the plow. You know, we need to understand the wisdom that's required to tap into that treasure, to make the soil that we do have work. How do we release its potential? How do we restore it, rather than importing something else and covering up our messy soil and just importing in good soil? You know, that's not the gospel. Go and get a better Christian somewhere else. That the gospel is, how does this messed up soil get restored? And so that formed a bit of a foundation for the course, and actually the whole entire direction in my career, in regard to what direction I took and what methods I was interested in and all of those sort of things. You know, I'm focusing on that regenerative or soil rebuilding tools.
Yes. When you're talking, though, I was wondering as well, like, what sort of people were coming along to this? Are these people who are already living in the country by themselves, like themselves already, or they're trying to grow in town, or What audience were you having?
Yeah, so this is like a urban city church. And there was a lot of people that wanted to move to the country. That was already primed, and a lot of people were looking for properties and they were preparing to move. But a lot of people were just... not particularly country people. Some of them were keen in gardening and had their own gardens their garden beds, and like some really nice gardens too. So some of them had some interesting questions and stuff. And other people, it was just like, I'm being exposed to this for the first time. Yeah, it was a real big...
So it was just soaking up the learning experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It was about, definitely, it was like, hey, there's also this, like, just a positive experience to have. It needs to be a positive experience for these people that are just, like, tackling these ideas for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, and we need forums like that, and we need places like that where that can be discussed, and it's not a, I know more than you, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I've got this sorted and you don't. But yeah, just to be able to generally ask those questions, right, and discuss things that, yeah, are important for the times we're living in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true. We definitely need like a network of of community people, people who are interested in agriculture and country living. I agree.
I love how this built that community for you guys. So it could be something that's talked about more easily and not just a random topic to bring up. And I can imagine that that brought you together as a team, right, as well, so that you could discuss these things on a different level than if you hadn't have had this experience, built that community. Next question, I'm curious to know. So what was involved for each of the participants? Did they have any homework? What was like the time commitment looking like? Was it a challenge for them or was it a fairly straightforward thing? Yeah, fill us in on that.
Well, it was just really, it was an afternoon Sabbath activity. So it was kept really within, no, there was no homework, no. There was no...
So something pretty doable, they could just fit in with their schedule and it wasn't, anything too much extra.
Yeah, that's it. This wasn't done like a big, massive crash course. That it could have been done like that. But it wasn't. It was done on every week. We're gonna have a chat. Basically, this is the topic we're gonna have a chat about. And some of those sessions there were more presentive, and some of them were like a bit more questions, you know, so, and discussion. So a bit of both, and definitely going wherever they wanted to go. And No homework. But, you know, coming from a university background, I realized when they designed courses, it took me like an entire to the end of university to realize why they give you these course objectives. When you start a course, generally it comes with the objectives. By the end of this course, you will be able to do the following. And I actually now appreciate that in hindsight, and I kind of wish I had that list before I entered the course to say, hey guys, look, these are the skills that we want, that after, you know, going through that, you would be, you know, if you guys can have these, these are the skills I'm coming here to give. Basically, this is what you, I know that, you know, this is what I can pass on. But yeah, that would have sort of taken a bit out of the natural, but we kind of created that list in hindsight now.
Yeah, that's cool. And with such an impromptu thing, that's totally fine. And sounds like there was a lot of value come out of it. Yeah, despite not having all the time and energy to prepare for it. And sometimes we've got to be minute men and women, right? And jump in and just do what's required instead of waiting for everything to be smoothed out. So super inspirational.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait till it's perfect and fully smooth. You know, we've got to go and break the ground and not wait till there's no rocks in the ground.
Yes, bring it back to those lessons. Love it. Yeah, that's really cool. So, that's, I guess, your perspective on how you saw it going. But I'm wondering, did you get much feedback from the people who went through it? What were they saying when it finished up or as they were going through it?
There was some... I think completely natural things, but also amazing to see, you know, like there was people that were just like, oh, I see the soil in a whole new way, you know, it lives, you know, I'm walking on this living thing. There were people that that gained an appreciation and expressed that of, oh, this is possible. There were people who afterwards, like in Sabbath school, would be like explaining spiritual concepts through the object lessons that I had used, physical ones. And so then they were explaining and understanding biblical stuff through object lessons. And that for me is a, you know, as coming as a teacher or a presenter, and then people later on gaining those clear insights and spiritual concepts through object lessons. Oh, that was great. That was great to just see it.
Yeah, it's becoming part of their lives as well, not just something you're teaching from the front.
Exactly. You could just see it become part of their lives. And that happened again and again. Different people started to use them. And I was like, oh, you know, it's just taken off. These people, it clicked. Other feedback. Look, I got like, there was a feedback that I didn't know how to take. It was like, oh, I'll just... ask Ian later. And I'm like, okay. You know, there's people approach a course in many different ways and or a time or a learning experience. And I've definitely approached some of my courses that I've done in that way. It's like, I don't feel like I need this right now. And I do feel like some people were in different phases of their life. They needed this or they needed that. And this was just something that came their way. And they were like, mm-hmm. Yep, when the time comes, I'm going to really dig into this. So there was some of that as well. And there's always people that are there because they just want to support, but they're just like, what is this topic? This is not what I normally deal with on a day-to-day basis at all. Doesn't matter. Cool.
And
they're great experience.
It's good having like a range of people going through it, not just, you know, the people that would be doing a university course on it or, you know, wanting to spend their whole life devoted to it. But yeah, being able to share some of that knowledge to lay people, I guess it's called, people who are just living their lives and yeah, wanting to learn along the way.
Yeah. Yes. And I'd add to that with that whole how much do you add? You know, my mum was like, are you trying to turn them into soil scientists?
You're like, ideally.
And yeah, in a sense, in my mind, I'm like, what's the problem with that?
Hey, when you're passionate about something, you just got to share it. And I think we forget that sometimes. Like, oh, why is so-and-so talking so passionately about it? Like, if you're passionate about something, you can't help but share it. And that should be the same with us in the gospel, right? You know, if it's something that on our heart and in our mind and something we're thinking about regularly, yeah, well, we can't help but share it. So that's that.
It's coming out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really cool to hear that feedback. And sounds like, yeah, it was a really valuable course for them. And, yeah, just having that experience to be, what's what I'm looking for? The experience to be exposed to it, I guess, right? Mm. But yeah, for you as well, like we've talked a little bit your perspective, like the practical side of how it actually looked running, what they felt like. But what about you? Like, how do you see it from your perspective and after reflecting on it and thinking about it? What would be your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Obviously, overall, a positive experience, but yeah.
Absolutely. And I learned some great lessons, and I think, I would definitely recommend to anyone to give, because when you are in the opportunity to share, you learn so much. I realized during this course that the way you teach something is the way those people who receive it will teach it later.
Mm.
And
such a good point.
It's very common. It's very known, but at the same time, it really came home because I realized if I explain this in a very succinct, powerful, clear way, these people will go out of this room and share it to someone else in exactly the same clear, powerful, succinct way.
Yeah, it's going to stick. They're actually going to be able to remember it.
Exactly. With a very, very clear, simple logic. And, you know, just like that example with Khan and blocking his airway, it's straight to the point. I can visualize it. I can see it. I can feel it. I know exactly what this results to. And now I can look at a soil and say, well, there's a puddle on top of it. It's not happy. You know, so definitely bringing more of those very clear images in people's minds was something that I'd learned to do a lot more of and work with those thought processes so they can walk out of there. And when they look at a piece of soil, they literally see it. And I see what's going on here. At least I hope they got that. Awesome.
Yeah. And that's like one of my favorite things from reading through the book Education. I don't know if you guys have read that or not, but yeah, she talks like it's talked about so much in there, the importance of like being able to see nature and see God through nature. And like, it's easy to say, yeah, we see God in nature, but do we actually, like, do we see those lessons that he's trying to teach us? like it takes time to develop that and to cultivate that and to see that naturally. And I know I've definitely got a long way to go in learning that, but yeah, to step by step, like associate, oh, this aligns with this. And that's so cool. I can see that and I can apply that to my life. Yeah, I think that's so important to be doing.
Yeah.
And to make it a habit.
Yeah, yeah. I'd also add another point on reflection on the course. When a city church or urban city church, borderline, does a sessions of country living, which makes people convicted to move to the country, and then a lot of members move to the country and therefore leave that community, because how do you now classify that as a success, or as a church family, do you consider that as a heartbreaking experience where a lot of people left?
Splitting the church up.
Hey, splitting the church up. Yeah. And at first it was sad. You know, there was these people, like a lot of the community, there was members that were leaving. They'd bought properties and they were going, and they wouldn't be able to attend anymore. And at first it's sad, but then later on it's, you know, when we talk about something and we recognize something and then we recognize that conviction and do it, and when all of this action is happening in response to conviction, it's actually it's an amazing thing. It's not sad after it. The taste is just sweet.
Yeah, and that's something we were talking about, just previous session as well, just how, like, that learning experience, right, and that attitude of always wanting to be learning, it leads us places, right? And so as a church and a community, learning and reading and trying to follow the counsel and trying to understand where God wants them and understand his will for them. And it did lead them in other directions. And so realizing, like, the full picture of Christianity and of the gospel. It's not just about one specific localized church, right? It's about the gospel going to the world as well.
Yeah.
And to be open to where God's teaching us and what he's leading, where he's leading us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that might mean change. Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes pleasant change, sometimes not so pleasant change.
Yeah, and just commenting on that change thing, it's hard for us to deal with that change. Sometimes we're afraid of it, but it's the most healthiest thing if we allow God to do that in our lives, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, Ian, if people are listening into this and, relating and wanting to know more about these topics and wanting to know more about this sort of stuff, what's something that other groups could do to get involved, and have other groups gotten involved already? What would you say to those people?
There are communities that would definitely be keen and have expressed that to have these conversations. It's like, and, you know, I was talking this course to another a mentor, and I was like, this is what we needed. It was basically what she was saying is like, we needed this in our church when we started. It would have just really helped boost it along for us just to have those basic skills that we needed before moving out to the country and trying to start a garden and getting, you know, starting all the wrong way. And doing mistakes and making garden beds in the wrong way and things dying and being ineffective. It's like, we don't want to do that. Like, there's a great learning experience, but if someone can just share and give us a propulsion, we can skip 5 years of failures.
You can have a step up from someone else's experience without having to do it yourself.
That's it. We just need to have them shared. And yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of, in a sense, the mission of this podcast. It's the mission of Cultivate Conference. When we were having conferences prior to COVID, it was that was exactly the mission and the goal. And so in these times when COVID has come in and, you know, running conferences have obviously become quite challenging. You know, we've moved to the platform of Zoom, we've moved to the platform of podcast in this case. So I would say to people, if they wanted something done like that, and, you know, if the opportunity allows and things open up, they can, you know, have and they can reach out to Cultivate, basically. And there's many speakers in many regions in the country and many people that would have things to share and could run programs in, you know, quite specialized programs on different topics in different areas. So those are options. And, you know, there's many people in the community that know a lot, you know, and I keep meeting a lot of people that, you know, in your local areas that know things, that, you know, this is a time to call those people up and say, look, it's time to share.
I think realizing as well that need for networking, because yeah, we can try and do things on our own and we can try and learn those lessons by ourselves. But if there's someone out there who has been doing it like long before us and has been having those experiences already, like, why don't we network? Why don't we connect and communicate and learn from other people and from their experiences and mistakes and successes? And so if you're listening and you want to connect, like, for sure, reach out to us. Would love to connect you with someone in your area. And hopefully more programs like this can be running, so that can be a valuable tool in your community and in the church community. It doesn't just have to be about spiritual things, but practical things as well. We can be encouraging each other and building that friendship and that community around, which I think is so valuable about the Christian community.
Yep, absolutely.
So yeah, we've kind of coming to the end here. I'm just wondering, Ian, if you had any closing thought or takeaway point that you wanted to leave with us and with the audience before we close up here.
Two things. Thanks for the grace, because I remember when I was running like one of my first programs and I was doing some training, my course was a mess. I hope they got something from it. But, you know, over the time of the years, you know, it's gotten a lot better and a lot better. And again, every time throwing it in the bin and starting again and listening to the people to learn from them what is needed. And that experience has developed it and changed it over the years. It's just a thankful to the Christians that have been in my courses and have been very forgiving for my mistakes. And why am I saying this is for twofold. One, thank you. And it's also taught me how to treat other people who are stepping out and sharing. You know, on this topic, there's going to be a lot of new presenters and a lot of new people coming out and being asked to talk on these topics. And it's like, you not be a pro presenter or a pro speaker or anything. And the people who are called are qualified. They are given. And so immerse yourself and know that, you know, that you're in a community that will forgive you when you make a mistake. And that grace has been amazing. And also in hindsight, just really want to, you know, every time like I hear someone stumbling or, you know, not quite nailing it, I've just learned to extend that to them as well. And you know, even actively sometimes if they need to know, you know, like, yeah, that's okay, guys, that's okay. I'm also, I should say that in the context of I know Cultivate has been reaching out to different people and asking them, hey, do you want to share? And you know, we're going to continue doing that, and our podcast will continue doing that. And just a message to say that
if you've been taught something and if God's been teaching you things, it is valuable. Is that what you're trying to say?
Thank you, Shanna.
Don't underestimate what you've been learning.
Thank you, Sharon.
And you never know what that small, you know, impact or that small, like you might feel like it's small knowledge, but you never know what that could be doing for someone else's journey or where they're at on their journey. So yeah, don't underestimate where you, what your journey's been and where God's been leading you.
Yeah. Share. Get out there and share and talk about it and network and get growing.
Mm. With your sharing skills and with your plants.
That's it. Everything grows together.
Cool. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing, Ian. It's, yeah, super exciting to hear, yeah, the simple beginnings and start and where God just led you in that journey with your church and the people there. And so, yeah, it's not hard. And I think that's what has been brought across in this really well. It's not hard. We all can get involved. We all can share. If God's taught you something, you can share. And, yeah, don't forget that your experience and your journey is valuable as well. So thanks so much for joining us. And, yeah, we look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for listening to the Cultivate podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you find us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our mailing list by the links below so you don't miss out. And if you have a moment, we'd love it if you could leave a review or tell a friend. See you next time.